One Friday in April 2006, I spent the afternoon and evening pacing the roof of my apartment building in Brooklyn, climbing down the fire escape ladder and hanging by my hands from the railing, then climbing back up with sore palms and lying on the roof in a ball, or stretched out on my back or on my stomach, maybe peering surreptitiously over the roof ledge. The roof is painted silver. The building is four stories tall. A group of my friends, each of whom had been on the phone with me one after the other all through the morning when I'd been alone and dialing wildly, and got busy calling each other. Janice owned a car, and she and Nikki were coming across the bridge from Manhattan, but there was traffic, and no one knew where I was. From the roof, the world seemed to scream. I heard sirens, police, ambulance, and fire. What agency would come for me? A helicopter was flying overhead and circling back. The woman I'd just run from, the woman who had rushed over ahead of the others, who had been with me downstairs in my apartment, my partner then, Reagan, thought that I'd gone to the street. We had been fighting over something I'd done. I'd hurt her, and we were both in anguish. She spoke harshly, and I ran away to die and end her burden. She charged after me, but the wrong way. Down instead of up, out the front door of the building and toward the avenue. The sun was setting, and the sky over New Jersey was orange, and I was in my socks, shivering. I was afraid for my life. I didn't know why I had to fall from the roof, why that was mine to do. When telling the story of my illness, I try not to speak about depression. I prefer to call it suicide. The American novelist William Styron, in his memoir Darkness Visible, A Memoir of Madness, argues that the word depression is inadequate to describe this illness, and I agree. A depression is a concavity, a sloping downward and a return. Suicide, in my experience, is not that. I believe that suicide is a natural history, a disease process, not an act or a choice, a decision or a wish. I do not understand suicide as a response to pain, or as a message to the living, or not only as those things. I do not think of suicide as the act, the death, the fall from a height or the trigger pulled. I see it as a long illness, an illness with origins in trauma and isolation, in deprivation of touch, in violence and neglect, in the loss of home and belonging. It is a disease of the body and the brain, if you make that distinction. But its etiology, its beginning, whether in early or later life, in the family or beyond, is social in nature. I see suicide as a social disease. I will refer to suicide, not depression. My sickness lasted years. It continued after that Friday on the roof and went on for more than a decade, through long hospitalizations and more than 50 rounds of electroconvulsive therapy, once known as shock therapy. It lasted through a decade of recovery, relapse, and recovery. Those times seem far removed, though they can also feel recent in memory. Up on the roof, I felt as if I had been dying all my life. I felt that it had begun when I was a little child. I was hanging from the fire escape. I kept a toehold. The sun was low, the air was cold. I was wearing socks but no shoes. And my palms were scraped and beginning to blister from my letting go a little, one hand at a time, falling out at an angle, sideways or backward, then grabbing fast for the rail and clutching tight. I gazed down at the concrete patio and the chain-link fence surrounding the backyard. The yard was inaccessible, small, and neglected. My apartment is on the third floor, and windows in my kitchen and bedroom overlook it, though you'd have to stick your head out to see much. I'd never looked at the yard for more than a minute or heard anyone in it. Below me was the small patio area littered with trash and an outdoor stairwell leading to the locked basement and the boiler.